Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, a tale of two ways of handling matters in the Vallo de Bell matter. Second, the South Carolina investigators say be patient in the Murdaugh matter. Third, this is what happens when you yell at the jury. Next, will Scott Peterson get a new trial? That decision's coming up. Who knew this black market existed? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And we will be going live tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, both here on YouTube and Facebook. Please join us. Immediately after that, our Patreon members will be doing our Patreon Live, and in that format, you can actually call in and talk to me. We'll talk about basically whatever you want. So please join us tonight. If you're not a Patreon, please do so. And as always, remember, if you can't watch us here, you can always find us on all of your favorite podcast sites. So download and listen to us again. All right. First on the docket, a tale of two ways of handling matters in the Vallo de Bell matter. Okay. Now, I have stated that I don't particularly like Mark Means' style of lawyering. It's kind of that civil litigator kind of stuff, which just really bugs me because it's always trying to pay this gotcha and hold you in contempt and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just what gives lawyers a bad name, okay? Mr. Pryor, who represents Chad de Bell, I think he's been around, done criminal defense. He gets it. There are certain hills that you're willing to go die on, and there's others that just aren't worth a fight. So let's take a quick example. Now, the prosecutor in the Lori Vallo, Chad de Bell matters are supposed to turn over discovery. And Mark Means made a request for discovery to be turned over. And basically, the state hasn't complied with that yet. Now, I wouldn't put this little caveat in there is, I wonder if Mr. Means recalls that the proceedings were stayed while his client is off being restored into competency. So I'm not even sure that the district attorney didn't comply because, frankly, they're not even at first advisement yet for the case really to be started. But in typical Mark Means fashion, he said he wants a motion to compel. He basically says the discovery should have been turned over, and the prosecutors are just evil, bad people. He wants a hearing immediately. He provides notice of reservations of rights regarding this matter, including but not limited to requests for dismissal, Brady motion violations, and sanctions. Well, first of all, there's not going to be a dismissal, okay? A Brady violation is something when you withhold exculpatory information. Not going to happen. Sanctions? Really? I think the judge will admonish Mr. Means and say, your case is stayed. Why are you going forward in this? And then ultimately he asks that the court impose cost, fees, and other appropriate sanctions against the prosecutors. Not going to happen. Then we have an example of Mr. Pryor. He has to file basically motions to dismiss if there are imperfections with the indictment within 14 days of the last court hearing. Well, all the discovery hasn't been turned over yet. So what does Mr. Pryor do? Instead of asking for sanctions and motions to compel, he says, Judge, can I get an extension because the discovery hasn't been turned over yet? I've communicated with the district attorney and we should have it here shortly. That's our request. Which is the more professional way of handling things? This way, okay? This way is the way you handle these things. I understand this is the biggest case Mark Means has ever had. It's his first real criminal case. but scorched earth is not a way to go in and try to prevail for your case. You lose credibility when all you do is cry wolf that everything is a constitutional violation and everything requires dismissal. Shows a lack of experience and professionalism. We'll see. Now, the other thing that's interesting in the Lori Vallow matter is that the court had sealed a hearing that took place back in July 27th of 2020. Well, the court allowed that hearing to be unsealed. Why, you may ask? For review by the special prosecutor appointed in these cases. Now, I went back and looked to see what took place on the 27th, and it was something that was done in chambers, so it was sealed. We don't know exactly what was said, but apparently somebody at the district attorney's office thinks that there's something in there worth reviewing or having a copy of. Some people commented yesterday that there was nothing about Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Hey, you just have to wait a day or so, and then something always comes up. And thank goodness for Mark Means. I should send him a mug simply for the fact that he provides such good content. Next on the docket, the investigators from SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, are telling the public to be patient in regards to the Murdaugh case. Now, SLED has come out with a statement saying, hey, there's been a lot of FOIA requests, their Open Records Act requests regarding this case, and we want to turn over things that we can. So they turned over some initial reports, but frankly, they were so redacted that it really doesn't tell much other than the police arrived on the scene from the sheriff's department there and that the police were called and the car was towed. Bottom line is not a whole lot of information provided. Hopefully more information will be coming forward as what normally takes place. The press has to sue to get access to records that should be open records. I understand there's an ongoing investigation and a lot of deference is given to the police when they release records or don't release records by the court. But in a case of a high profile nature of this, I think the public has a right to know. So we'll continue to follow the Murdaugh case. You know, obviously, Paul Murdaugh could be characterized as a troubled young kid or maybe a privileged young man, so to speak, and maybe he's gotten all the breaks and he still manages to screw it up. But it looks like the mother, Maggie Murdaugh, may have been just an ancillary victim in this case, which is a tragedy, no doubt. So, and even Paul Murdaugh's shortcomings certainly don't warrant his death by homicide for sure. So we'll continue to follow that case. It's going to be big. And if you haven't done so, check out the video we put up yesterday on the timeline of the Murdaugh case. I think it is worth watching. A lot of people seem to think it was very informative. All right. Next on the docket. This is what happens when you yell at the jury. Remember when I told you last week that a gentleman from Florida by the name of Ronnie O'Neill was charged with killing his girlfriend, their daughter, who was disabled, and then attempting to kill his own son. Well, his opening statement was basically yelling at the jury that he had to represent himself because everyone is corrupt in the system and the prosecution can't meet their burden in the case. And therefore, it's obvious that one thing only happened, that the prosecution and police altered the evidence to meet their burden. Well, after a week-long trial and Mr. O'Neill not testifying, but stating in closing statements, well, sure, I did kill the mother of my children, but I didn't kill my daughter, and I certainly didn't try to kill my son. Well, his son testified that he stabbed him and then tried to burn him. It took the jury 4 hours to convict Mr. O'Neill. Now they will decide whether he is worthy of receiving the death penalty. He who represents himself has a fool for a client. Mr. O'Neill, big mistake, and guess what? Now you have no post-conviction rights and remedies because you represented yourself. You can't say that you received ineffective assistance of counsel. All right, let's take a quick recess before we continue on with the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, will Scott Peterson get a new trial? Well, a California Superior Court judge by the name of Ann Christine Masullo is going to make that decision as to whether Peterson should get a retrial. And she's going to do that by August 24th. As you may recall, the California Supreme Court was ordered to re-examine Peterson's murder conviction last November. The judge will announce a retrial if Peterson's habeas petition provides enough information to merit a retrial. If the court decides there isn't enough information, the court could order an evidentiary hearing to follow. The defense is arguing that they have enough evidence to destroy the timeline that put Peterson on death row for murdering his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son, Connor, back in December of 2002 when she was 8 months pregnant. Another issue surrounding the retrial is if one of the jurors lied to get on the jury. During the 2004 trial, one of the jurors by the name of Rochelle Nice allegedly committed prejudicial misconduct when she failed to disclose that she obtained a restraining order against her boyfriend's former girlfriend in 2000 for harassment that was taking place. The juror was pregnant at the time of the restraining order, but denied any involvement in any crime-related incidents when the court asked during the voir dire process. Now, I understand jurors tried to be very specific. Attorneys need to ask good questions. But normally, and even the court asks, whether it's the attorneys or the court, they ask, is there anything else you think we should know that would affect your ability to be a fair and impartial juror? And so when the juror doesn't disclose, hey, I've been involved in kind of a domestic thing where I had to get a restraining order, that is significant. And for that juror to withhold that, that's problematic. And then the question becomes, was that something that tainted the entire jury, which would require a new trial of a case dating back to 2000. We would have to wait and see. I cannot wait to see what happens in this particular case. Certainly, one of the things about criminal defense is there has to be resolution for the defendant as well as the victims in this particular case. The family of Lacey Peterson doesn't want this case to go back. But we have to make sure that we have due process in our society and make sure things are done right. And if errors were made, you have to correct it, even if it was 18, 20 years ago. Next on the docket, who knew there was this black market? Yes, that black market includes pistachios. A delivery truck driver in California is being accused of stealing a trailer containing tens of thousands of pounds of pistachios and running what appeared to be an illegal black market for the product. Who knew? During an audit, the Touchstone Pistachio Company discovered that they were missing some 42,000 pounds of their main product, pistachios, that they were just gone. They reported that to the sheriffs, and the sheriffs began doing their investigation. Investigators announced Saturday that they had located the missing pistachios and they'd arrested 34-year-old Alberto Montemayor. Detectives were also able to determine, once the pistachios were recovered, that they were being removed from a 2,000-pound bag and put into smaller bags for resale. This is not the first time that thieves in California have gone over pistachios. There was a case a few years ago where someone stole $300,000 worth of pistachios. Who knew there was such a demand for the black market of pistachios? But apparently, anything that somebody can get for free, i.e. by stealing it, taking something without permission from another person, and making some money on it themselves, creates that market. But it's illegal to sell other people's things, just like it's illegal to take other people's things. All right, now on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. I don't know what it is about food, ladies and gentlemen. People just cannot help themselves. But a South Carolina man told police that his girlfriend of 2 weeks, so you got him a little break, they're still trying to get to know each other, right? Assaulted him during an argument over making s'mores early Saturday morning. Responding to an assault call from a Myrtle Beach resident, police interviewed the couple, both of whom said that they quarreled over, that's right, s'mores. The 45-year-old woman said the dispute never got physical and was only verbal. Her 54-year-old boyfriend alleged that she struck him with the s'mores. That's right, more food assault. Now, since the man had no bruises or marks to corroborate his claim, no other witnesses were present during the assault. There was not enough evidence to make an arrest. So, I guess our dumb criminal contestant is the unidentified woman from South Carolina that wasn't arrested, who really isn't a criminal, but it just shows, don't get angry around food, okay? Don't get angry around food. It is not a weapon. Just like you don't take other people's things, you don't hit other people with food. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Please hit that subscribe button as well as the like button, and don't forget to join us this evening when we go live. And please, if you haven't done so already, join us and become a Patreon, and we can have a call-in show and talk about whatever you want. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.